fast right up here, please? Commissioner, we're going to start with you.
Mayor Marty Walsh and grim-faced fire officials Wednesday night stood before a phalanx of microphones to fill in the blanks about the lives of the two colleagues who perished in this 9-alarm conflagration.
The two firefighters who lost their lives today was Lieutenant Ed Walsh of Engine 33 and Firefighter Michael Kennedy, also of Engine 33.
Deputy Fire Chief Joseph Finn knew both men.
Lieutenant Walsh, I've known for a number of years, very competent fire officer, took his men under his wing and was very... very hands-on. We did locate Lieutenant Walsh in the basement by the cellar stairs, is where he was finally recovered from.
Fireman Kennedy was also trapped in the basement.
It appears that they went in with their line. The fire was originated in the basement. They went in with the line, and they made their way up the front stairs and then down the interior cellar stairs, apparently, into the investigation. Well, this will all unfold in the investigation. Apparently went down the interior cellar stairs where the main boiling fire was. And I'm making an assumption here that one of the windows or whatever broke out front and drove the fire at them.
As the fire drove toward the two firefighters in the basement, their colleagues from Engine 33 and 15, according to fire officials, were rescuing residents living on the upper levels of the Beacon Street brownstone. Walsh and Kennedy were among the first to respond when the initial alarm was struck at 2:45 in the afternoon. Tim Fallon, a plumber, was working a few doors down.
I was working on Beacon Street at 320 Beacon. And I left my van parked in front of the building, came out, the fire had started, and could not go from there. So it's sitting in front of the building, hopefully still, and I'll get it at some other time.
You saw the flames?
I did not see the flames. They were coming out the back. I was in the front of the, I'm on the same side, but the smoke was just unbelievable.
But the flames that Fallon had not seen at that point were raging out of control, says Deputy Chief Finn, fanned by 45-mile-per-hour wind sweeping off the Charles River.
In 30 years, I've never seen a fire travel that fast, escalate that quickly, and create such havoc in such a short period of time. The wind was blowing in off the Charles. It drove the fire and everything with it, all the products of combustion, in front of the building where Engine 33, which were the two members were assigned, were trying to make headway on the fire, which appeared to start in the basement. It's a very fast-moving fire. The weather conditions certainly played a major role in the fire. And once again, I commend them, members, because they did save a number of people in this building today.
But Walsh and Kennedy could not save themselves. By the time the call for help went out, it was too late.
They called a mayday in a very short period of time. They weren't in the building, I would say, again, the investigation will pan this out. They weren't in the building more than 2 or 3 minutes when they ordered a mayday that they were trapped.
Kennedy's body was found about half an hour after the fire began. Walsh's body remained in the basement hours afterward until about 8 p.m., with firefighters unable to access the lower level, which was still red hot with wind-fueled flames. 13 firefighters were injured with burns and other injuries, none life-threatening. An explosion occurred as the fire progressed over the hours, and several firefighters were blown down the stairs of the building. Backdraft may have played a major role.
That's an assumption on my part, and hopefully the investigation will iron that out. But again, if having some experience and understanding how fire travels and what comes with the dynamic, that fire was from the front, was blowing like a blowtorch out the front, from the rear to the front.
2 hours after the fire began, from the Charles River, Mass Avenue Bridge, or Storrow Drive, you could see streams of water from fire hoses pouring onto the residents, and the flames slowly and reluctantly dying. How did this fire begin? It's not yet clear. The building and the area around it is being treated as a crime scene, but that's not unusual, said Finn.
Most sudden deaths are treated as a crime scene, but I don't believe this is, other than the accidental death of the two firefighters, I don't have any reason to believe there was any criminal intent here. But that also needs to be vetted through the investigation. The only thing, again, that I'd say suspicious was the rate of travel. It's just the fire developed so quickly. And I think that, again, goes towards the wind.
This was a tragic situation, but it could have been worse if not for the firewalls protecting adjacent buildings, said Boston Fire spokesman Steve McDonald.
There appeared to be firewalls that prevented the spread of fire to either side. We did have a structural engineer on the scene to advise us as we fought the fire. It's still burning in parts of the interior, and We'll be here all night chasing those flames. But it doesn't appear to have spread to either side, but the building itself, when all is said and done, will be a total loss.
A firewall is probably the only reason that Peter Weiss, who lives next door, still has a home to return to.
I'm pretty glad. I don't know much about what was going on because I wasn't home. But I imagine that it probably did because with this wind, you know, it's just unbelievable.
He was not home when the fire began.
My fire alarm, when it went off, my fire alarm company called me.
And where were you at the time the fire alarm?
I was at the other side of town.
As I mentioned, Weiss still has a home, but he's not allowed to go back there just yet.
I live two houses down. And I'm trying to get back to my house now, so I'm going to ask him if I can get back in there.
Oh, certainly.
Sir.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find somebody. Excuse me.
Okay.
So let me back into my house.
What's your address?
294.
294. I believe you're right next door to the fire.
No, two houses. The fire was 298.
Yeah, I understand that. You're basically adjacent to an active fire right now. They're not going to let you into your house, sir. The carbon monoxide alone will knock you out. Okay? Hey, ma'am, where are you going?
Both Weiss and his miniature greyhound dog on a leash shivered in the wind that pushed temperatures into the teens. With his home blocked by yellow tape, fire trucks, and a police officer, Weiss turned around and went back to the hotel where he's staying. A few feet away, glancing toward the firefighters still on the job late into the night, two neighborhood residents said they had come to this spot because the two fallen firemen were heavily on their minds.
I'm so upset. I mean, these poor guys, they're young guys. I mean, one of them had three children. I mean, it's horrible. Yeah, I'm just so upset by the whole situation. I mean, it's a horrible fire, and lots of people are in the hospital, and these firemen lost their lives saving people.
Firefighters and police officers saluted when Walsh's body was finally recovered and wheeled out on a gurney, his body wrapped in black cloth. At a press conference held on the corners of Marlboro and Exeter, Mayor Marty Walsh called the men heroes.
We lost two heroes here today. It makes me proud to be mayor of the city of Boston after watching the way that the men and women of the Boston Fire Department worked today. These two heroes ran into a burning building, got people out of the building.
Moistened by water still seeping from hydrants and hoses, a fireman's heavy jacket glistened under the glare of TV lights and his face from the mist that comes with grief.
It's a very sad day.
Rich Paris is president of the Boston Firefighters Union.
I knew Michael Kennedy. I was with him last night with the Burns Convention. It's in town. And I knew Eddie Walsh also. Two great firefighters. And all those firefighters that worked there today, people were saved for their actions that they did in this fire today. Citizens were saved. And that's what we do. We sacrifice our life for the citizens of the city of Boston. That's what Michael Kennedy, firefighter Michael Kennedy, and Lieutenant Eddie Walsh did today.
This morning, many hours after the fire began, the smell of smoke like the odor of burnt ash in a fireplace still lingered in the air over the Back Bay, a reminder of a tragedy, the beginnings of a cleanup, and the start of an investigation into how this happened and why. In the Back Bay, Boston, Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.